a Second World War veteran, Matt turns 100 years old. He looks back on the best and worst of his wartime experiences, fighting the fascists in Italy when he was just 18.
I grew up in an orphanage. I was born, my mother died. 2 years later, I couldn't walk or talk. I had to be force-fed. I wasn't even potty trained. And I was handed in to Quarriers Orphan Homes of Scotland near Bridge of Weir in Renfrewshire, where I stayed for the next 11 years. Then I came out. I went to work on a farm for a little while. We were sitting in the dining room of this farm home where the trained boys were farming. And the news came on, and Neville Chamberlain came on, and he told us that this country is now at war with Germany. I thought, great, I can't wait to get in. The only thing was, I wasn't old enough. I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, I wish I was old enough to get stuck in. And eventually, I became old enough.
As soon as he turned 18, Matt joined the Argyll and South Highlanders. It was 1942, and having been promoted to Lance Corporal, he was sent to Italy, where fascist dictator Mussolini was waging a bitter bloody war on the side of Germany.
I went to Italy just in time for the great Battle of Cassino. We arrived up to the front line opposite Cassino. And the next job was, they'd had three goes at crossing the Rapido and moving on. And three times they'd failed. And now was the fourth time. I'd just come out from the UK. We were the next ones in. Right. I lined my squad up and I said, right, ready, follow me. Now, I'm not bragging, but I'm only 5'2". I was only a young fella then, but I had men in that squad that were older than me, been longer in the army than me, but they would not take a responsibility. I got lumbered with it. Right. I've got them lined up and everything's all around. Bang, 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 bang. Young bullets flying everywhere. And we're all lined up there. And suddenly a whistle goes. And stony silence. And it's stop. And if you've ever heard silence, this is it. You can never understand how silent things can be after you've been in a blooming battle royal over your head. Well, anyway, I've got them lined up, side by side, waiting for a whistle. And suddenly a whistle goes. Right, advance. Now I've got to get my squad, advance. We move down from the River Rapido and then we row across the river. Now the river's flowing like a clapper's. Overhead, blasted explosions, bullets everywhere. You just don't know when you're going to get hit. And so one of my sergeants copped it. All is quiet. Then suddenly you hear the whistle of a shell. And then you get the bang, bang, bang. Then you get the machine gun firing bullets. And they're coming at your left, right and centre. Chuk, 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 chuk. It's absolute murder. You don't know where to jump or what to do. You're looking for a hole in the ground and you just run anywhere you can where you think you can get between you and the enemy. All those bullets are coming your way. And you've got that all the time. And while you're crossing the river, you've got that firing at you. And you're wondering where it is. And you're stuck. And you can be stuck in the middle of it. And when you're in the front line, you can have it flying over your head, all around you. Shells bursting, bang, bang, bang. You think you're in a nice, safe little position and suddenly, boom, boom. You think, oh my golly, where's the next one going to go? We managed to advance, and eventually the Allies managed to get up into the monastery at Cassino. Now, in honour of the Poles, we were told to stop, and they gave the Polish army the right to take the monastery at Cassino. They were part of the attack, but at the same time, we gave them the full credit. More or less an insult to Germany, wasn't it? That a country like Poland can beat you through your toughest fortress.
As they pressed on, the enemy attacks were relentless. Eventually, they approached the Gothic line, the German and Italian defensive fortress along the summits of the Apennine Mountains, and Matt found himself in an unexpectedly fortuitous position.
We'd moved up to the Gothic line, and we were very comfortable up there, and suddenly Jerry started shelling us. And lo and behold, we'd all dug out a little hole in the side of the mountain where we could come and get sneak in there and go to sleep when needed, and come out and do our duty sitting further up in the open. I came back and I found my little dugout in the side of the mountain, and I crawled in there and I thought, lovely, I'll have a good night's sleep here. I've seen everybody else on guard and made sure that everybody else was in duty. Well, I slept there, and I was sleeping quite nicely when suddenly Jerry started shelling us. And when he shelled us, he hit the mountain right above me, and it loosened a large piece of stone, and it fell down, and it fell on my leg. Well, by the time they'd pulled me out, my leg was sore. And I said, I don't know how bad it is. And somebody said, we better take you down to see the medical officer. Eventually, I'm put on a stretcher. On the other side of the stretcher is a little fella about my height and weight to balance me. And we go all the way down this mountainside, and it's amazing how frightening that is when you realise that if you slip, one slip, well, eventually we got to the base at the bottom of the mountain, and I was taken to the hospital there. And my leg is, well, to be quite honest, if I'd got up and walked and given it a good rub, I'd probably have been all right. But somehow or another, I felt, I want a break. I'd had enough. And so I just lay still. And they diagnosed that my leg was badly damaged. From my hospital ward, I could see Vesuvius kicking up, spouting up, and being vomiting up its red hot ash. down below, if I got up, I could see the ruins of Pompeii, all spread out below me. Well, I managed to stay there for a while. I kept quiet and I thought, this is the life. Then one day the officer said, if you get up and walk around, you should be all right. So I got up and I walked around and I explored the ruins of Pompeii. Most amazing. Wonderful place.
Matt was moved to a reinforcement camp, and it was there where he spotted a recruitment notice for the SAS asking for experienced soliders. He knew little about this new unit of the army, but curious, he put his name down.
Chaps from away back wanted to get in, and there were quite a great number of us. And we stood in a line. And the officer came up, Canadian officer, and he said, I'm from the SAS. We drop paratroops in behind the enemy lines in one, two, threes and half a dozen, where they raid, play merry hell with the enemy. Well, I thought, that's not for me. That's too much. Anyway, he said, I'm coming along a line to ask any questions. When he came to me, I said, have you got a parachute that will go up and not drop down, or go down and not up? I was trying to get out of it. Instead, I was being dragged further into it. Apparently, the Canadian officer selecting us liked my attitude. And secondly, I think the fact I was wearing a Scottish beret and he was of Scottish extraction, called MacDonald, I was enlisted into the SAS. We were trained in all sorts of things, explosions and one thing and another, and eventually we got to the point where we had to learn to do parachute jump. So we got on the plane, off we went, and we jumped out the plane. And it was the most exciting moment of my life. Terrific.
He was sent to join an SAS operation already in progress and found himself based in an idyllic Italian village up in the hills. When he wasn't scouting for Germans and disrupting their military might, he was tasked with a rather unusual job.
We dropped in, about 10 of us, to a little village called, which was north of Genoa and just south of a town called Alba. And we were dropped in there and we spent the day travelling around, scouting around, seeing where the Germans were, shooting them up and doing what we could to distract them. However, it was quite nice there though, little village, way up in the hills, and we were all in the guest house. And we slept in the schoolroom because everybody was out of the village. But we used to have dinner in the guest house. And one day we said to the officer, we're fed up with macaroni and cheese and spaghetti and one thing and another. So he radioed through and he got us some British food. And the British food came in and we gave it to the landlady of the guest house. But still we got past the shooter and macaroni. We asked her what was wrong. She didn't understand how to cook them. So by it happened that I made a cup of tea and the officer drank a cup of tea and he said, you can cook, you get into that guest house and teach her how to cook British food. So I spent the rest of the time there. I had to go out on operations, but when we came back, I didn't have to do any of the cleaning of the equipment. Somebody else did that. I was instructing the landlady on how to cook British food.
As a member of the SAS, Matt was selected for a special operation to break the enemy blockade which had developed across Italy. The battle was intense, bloody and exhausting. Thousands of troops were killed on both sides.
People think that the war was simply Normandy landing. Now, you want to know about Italy. Italy was a hellhole. We had one hell of a job with it, because you were locked in there in this narrow strip of a leg, and you were locked in, and you got mountains in the middle, and Germany could sit on that mountain and watch you, and every movement you made, he'd shoot at you. So you had to go back and find somebody to shoot back at him. It was a constant war. It was worse than anything. I was head down all the way. We used to dig ourselves a little pit in the ground called a trench, and it would be two foot wide or more, 2 or 3 foot long, 4 or 5 foot deep, with a little step so you didn't go too far down. But you could get in there and your head was above ground level. And that's where, that was your bed. That was your dining room, your bedroom, your sitting room. That was where you lived. It didn't matter if it rained. If it rained, too bad. There was none of this coming out and getting a change. You stayed there for 14 days at least. Then after 14 days or more, no matter how bad you feel, tired, weary, unclean, shattered, you'd be told, right, change over. And you'd crawl out and you'd walk down the hill, down the mountainside, until you got to where, and somebody else would be coming up to take your place.
Eventually, the war ended and Italy surrendered. Matt's regiment was given one final order to find Mussolini and take him to a British base.
We were dropped, we were in a town where the partisans, we were in an area of Italy that was worse than being in the front line, because the Italians had divided themselves into two groups. Communists, Democrats, and they were fighting each other, and we were in the middle. And I had only a horse to ride around on. And when you're riding a horse and you hear a bullet whiz past your head, it's not exactly a pleasant thought. Anyway, in this kerfuffle, Italy was surrendering, packing up, but Mussolini was still loose. And we were supposed to go and pick him up and bring him back to British base. Unfortunately, when our little group got up the mountains in northern Italy to pick Mussolini up, he'd been shot. Somebody had shot him. So all we got was a dead body. That was that. War finished, and I came back home, and I was transferred to Germany into the War Crimes Investigation Unit.
After the war, Matt went on to marry and have a family. He lost his sight in later life due to macular degeneration. Now widowed, We provide him with specialist support and equipment to help him continue living independently.
I must admit, the blind veterans have done me a great deal of service, because when they knew that I had eye trouble, they came and they gave me this printing enlarger, and that's helped me a great deal, because I'm now able to bring my personal letters and things into here and read them. So I have a community support worker called Peter, who looks in on me now and again to make sure I have everything I need. And he's very good that way. If anybody, any veterans with troubles with their eyes, go to blind veterans, at least they are interested in helping you, one way or the other. Blind veterans have done a great deal for me, and I'm very, very proud of them.
We thank Matt for his service and his bravery, and wish him a very happy 100th birthday.